This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the People Speak radio show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak show normally airs every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS radio network. You can participate during the show with call-in questions for our guests toll-free in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of PAL Talk, the largest free chat program in the world where we have our virtual radio room, the People Speak show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a fantastic show tonight. I'm more excited than Netanyahu at a gun show. We're talking to a very special guest right here. He's a Brazilian freelance political cartoonist. His images showcase a lot of the world's political themes, including anti-Zionism, anti-globalism, anti-capitalism, and anti-war. He's best known for his images depicting the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and, more recently, the Arab Spring events. We're talking tonight to the amazing artist Carlos Latouf about the state of the situation in Palestine today. Welcome to the People Speak show, Carlos.
Hello, Mr. Johnson.
Hey, it's great to have you here. I spoke to you, I think it was through email or through, might have even been on Skype a few years ago when I made some cards and I suggested to you that you put these images on the cards. Do you remember that conversation?
Well, I'm getting old. I cannot remember, but, well, someone in Turkey already made this, published a book with my cartoons. The funny thing is, in Brazil, I never had a book. Usually, people overseas make books about my cartoons.
Well, we'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour, but my initial question to you tonight is, how did you get started in drawing these political cartoons?
I started as a professional cartoonist with the leftist trade union bulletins, but not for political reasons, because it was because I was trying to work for the mainstream media, but you know, I was just John Doe. Nobody knew about me. I didn't have influent parents or influent friends to introduce me to editors or things like this. So the first opportunity was working for leftist bulletins, trade union bulletins. And then I started to be involved in social issues, and I become more related to a social artist or an artist who devote part of his art to social events, social issues.
Right, right. Well, your images are these days, in 2016, they're well known all around the world. And a lot of your art is used on many websites, in posters, in demonstrations, and articles online, globally. Have you had a lot of support since doing the political art that you do?
Well, I think this kind of imagery create friends and enemies. It's not difficult, for example, to go to public spaces and be recognized by people, and they say, "Oh, Latouf, I love your cartoons," etc. But sometimes I feel a bit worried, because to have such kind of exposure also put you in danger, because you can find any kind of lunatic nut with a gun who don't follow your principles, your ideas, and is ready to put a bullet in your head just because he don't like your cartoons, you know? Especially when you criticize, for example, ISIS. You criticize the way religion has been manipulated for political agendas, etc.
And not only political and religious, but everything's being manipulated these days. Markets are manipulated. The corporations are manipulating the people. You see a lot of this in your images, so you really get it. Have you had a lot of people write to you with their support, saying, God bless you for doing this?
Oh, thank you very much. I'm not sure if God exists, but thank you very much anyway.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend you, but...
No. Hey, Steve, don't be so formal with me, brother.
Okay. I'll be pretty cool with you. Don't worry. I'll keep the questions low-key.
No problem. I'm enjoying to talk to you.
Awesome. Have you had many people write to you and tell you what good work you're doing?
Due to internet, we have more artists who were not able to express their views without the possibility of the internet. I mean, in the past, when I was young, the only way for someone else to express views, especially through cartoons, was working for the mainstream media. When I was a teenager, one of my dreams was to publish cartoons in the Time magazine. Can you imagine that? But because there was no internet, I mean, there was no other chance for people to reach an audience. But now, everyone with a computer, with a tablet, and making some cartoons can reach a large audience. Of course, to have a computer and internet access is not enough. You need to have the proper insight to make cartoons, political cartoons, to be in touch with world news all the time, you know. But it's, I think now more people, more artists are available due to the social platforms, social medias, etc.
Right. I saw recently a pro-Palestinian speaker in Australia, Max Egan. He got bashed. Some people come and attack him because he was speaking for Palestine. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had harassment yourself or been threatened for doing the work you do?
Definitely, Steve, definitely.
Wow.
In the past, in the 20s, in the year 2000, in the years 2000, when I started to make cartoons about Palestine after my visit to West Bank in 1998, I started to be attacked by pro-Israel people on internet. But in that time, we had very few platforms to publish my cartoons. Basically, the IMC, the Indie Media Center. And it was quite common to get death threats. For example, in 2006, a website linked to Likud, the right-wing party in Israel, they wrote, Israel should take care of me in a way or another. So during that time, I was expecting some kind of violent action from people who support Israel. But now, I must confess, of course, they still pose a threat to someone like me who defend openly the Palestinian cause through cartoons. But now I think I have more enemies from different sides, because if you are against, for example, the Egyptian cup, Egyptian military in Egypt, you have enemies. If you are against the Turkish president Erdogan, who is becoming very quickly a dictator in Turkey, you have enemies. If you criticize the ISIS, you get death threats from Twitter. If you criticize the police brutality in Brazil, you also can be targeted by cops. So In short, if you are a political cartoonist in these days, you have a target in your back, no doubt.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's sad to hear that. Your visit to the West Bank in the late 1990s, in 1998, how did you feel about what you saw going on there? How did that affect you?
Well, in that time, the situation was not good, but you had no separation wall, you had no the Palestine divided between West Bank and Gaza, etc. And the situation was very difficult. I mean, you had many checkpoints. In that time, the suicide bombers was common in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And I had opportunity to talk to ordinary people, Israelis, settlers, Palestinians. So became obvious Palestinians lived in an apartheid. I used to say you don't need to be a political expert in Middle East affairs to realize Palestinians live under an apartheid. Just go to Israel and check for yourself. But don't go to Tel Aviv. Don't go to Jerusalem. You need to go to West Bank to see that. Because you have people who say, no, I was in Israel. It's not like that. Well, where exactly? Have you been in Haifa? No, no Haifa, no Tel Aviv. Go to West Bank. Go to where the Palestinians live with the military on the top of the roof, in the streets, etc. The situation in Ramallah, maybe it's not that difficult because there you have the Palestinian Authority. But if you go to another places, refugee camps, or even in Gaza, for example, the situation is far worse. So I suggest anyone who wants to see exactly how Palestinians live, you don't need to watch news, you don't need to read books, just go to there, spend 15 days, spend a week in West Bank and see for yourself.
Well, since that time, do you feel that these days people are more aware about what's going on, that there's more of a knowledge of the situation than there was back then?
Definitely, because now we are in the so-called information society. You have access to information so easily, you know. You can be aware about what is happening, not from the mainstream media, but especially from the Palestinians themselves. They produce their own content to share on social medias. So a Palestinian activist or even an average, ordinary people in Palestine can use his cell phone to make a video of police brutality from Israeli cops, for example, and share on the social media. So this is a revolution, a technological revolution. I think now the Palestinians are more vocal due to the new technologies. This is very important.
And thanks to that being happening. I do know that you have a background from Lebanon. Is that correct, that you have a Lebanese background? Did that actually inspire you to feel for the Palestinians more?
Yeah, this is a good question. Usually people say I'm an Arab. My grandfather was Lebanese, but I didn't know him. He passed away before I could meet him. And my grandfather, who was Lebanese, didn't share anything to my family. My family, for example, don't speak Arabic. Mostly, all of my relatives never were in Middle East, for example. So why I decide is because I was there. I saw with my own eyes. And, for example, I also was in Northern Ireland. And I saw the division is still existing in Northern Ireland. And when you talk to people, when you see things, if you have some knowledge about the history and etc., you will support a side. For example, in Northern Ireland, if I was an activist in Ireland, I will support the Republicans because they want independence. It's an anti-colonialism struggle. So I'm pro-anti-colonial struggle. So going to Northern Ireland, I got sympathy for the Republican cause, for example.
Right.
If I went to Kurdistan and see how the Kurds live under Turkish rule, I will be pro-Kurdish for a matter of human rights, for example. So the same thing happened when I was in Palestine. When I saw all the restrictions given to Palestinians by the Israeli government, it's practically impossible not to be supportive to Palestinian cause, because Palestinian cause is also anti-colonial struggle, in my opinion.
And not only that, it is the struggle that every human being has against the system. The way I see it is, if Palestine loses, we all lose as humanity. So it's a worthwhile cause to support, because it's all about treating people as basic human beings. Do you not believe that?
Definitely, I do. Definitely. Maybe in the past, maybe because I was so connected to the Palestinian cause, I devoted mostly of my art to the Palestinian cause. But now, after some years in touch with other causes, I understand this Israeli behavior is not the only one, you know. In different parts of the world, you have the same behavior, the same approach, the same cruelty. Thanks God, Palestinian cause has a lot of exposure, a lot of exposure. People know more about what has happened in Palestine than in Sri Lanka, for example, or in some parts of Asia, you know. So even in Brazil, we don't need to go so far. In Brazil, we have, I'm going to give you a fresh example. Few hours ago, in the state here called Mato Grosso do Sul, okay? This is a state here in Brazil, Mato Grosso do Sul.
Mato Grosso do Sul?
Yes, Mato Grosso do Sul, yes. A native community was targeted by farmers, by landowners, and they killed one native leader, and they shot in the stomach of a child.
Wow.
So I am in touch with the native struggle here in Brazil. And I can tell you, you have disgusting things here involved, landowner violence, agribusiness violence against the natives, for example.
Right.
So, if you have a concern about social issues, it's not difficult to find causes to support, just causes. In the United States, for example.
Okay, sure. Your visit to the West Bank, what you saw there basically reminded you of what the Nazis did to the Jews. Is that not correct? With checkpoints, with machine guns everywhere, with occupation forces, with ID checkpoints and everything that you saw. Wasn't that, in your opinion, very, very similar to what the Nazis did to the people or the Jewish population in Germany?
Well, I made many cartoons comparing the treatment given to Palestinians with the treatment given to the Jews by the Nazis. Well, I think this comparison was necessary to get a point. You know what I mean? To make a point. Of course, what we have in Palestine is more related to colonialism, neo-colonialism, than a plan to exterminate all the Palestinians. You know, I think the tactic, the strategy, the Israeli strategy in Palestine reminds me. The French in Algeria, or the French in Indochina,
or British in India.
Exactly. So I don't think Israelis are the new Nazis. As I said,
right.
I made the comparison, but just to get a point, I think they are more. It's more accurate to say what we have in Palestine is new colonialism. Of course, I'm not saying being new colonialism is less evil. No, it's not. People are being killed, are being oppressed. But I think this is more accurate. Of course, if I want to make further comparisons, I will do, because I'm an artist. Okay, I feel free to make any comparison in order to achieve my point.
Sure.
But I think what we have is more close to new colonialism.
And of course, that's what political art is supposed to do. It's supposed to get you thinking about issues in a different light, in a different comparison, a different perspective. Is that not true?
No, I agree. And, you know, I think now, as a political cartoonist, drawing about Palestine and Israel, everyone who decides to make cartoons about Palestine will face the label of anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in Europe and United States, this is very strong, you know. Usually, the pro-Israel lobby, they always call you anti-Semite for comparing, for example, Israel with Nazis, or to say Israeli soldiers are killing Palestinian children. They say about blood libel, etc. Unfortunately, this is the kind of accusation we need to face. Because this is the tool of trade of any pro-Israel lobby is to accuse of anti-Semitism.
That's the standard trick.
Sorry.
Oh, that is the standard trick that they use, is to cry, anti-Semite, anti-Semite, I need a bagel.
Yeah, exactly. But we need to be aware about what is anti-Zionism, criticism, genuine criticism to Israeli policies, and anti-Semitism. I must say, I want to make clear, my cartoons has nothing to do with hatred against Jews.
Right.
Because I don't believe what has happened in Israel, in Palestine, is something related to, between quotes, the Jews. The same way, I don't believe in what is happening with the so-called Islamic State and Orlando shooting. We need to blame, between quotes, the Muslims. I think you have supporters of Israel who are not Jews, who are Christians, for example. You have Christian Zionists. In Brazil, we have lots of Zionist Christians who support Israel and blame Palestinians for calling them terrorists, etc. So, what we have in Palestine is not about the Jews controlling the world and this kind of shit. No, what we have is new colonialism. Of course, those Israeli supporters use the religion as a smokescreen to prevent people to see what is really involved in this conflict. So,
right. It's not a religious thing. It's not a religious thing. It's a political thing.
Definitely. You have religion as an ingredient of the conflict. But the reason why we have Palestine divided, occupied, is politics. So it has nothing to do with religion. Religion is a smokescreen. For example, in the past, remember the Mavi Marmara attack?
Yes, sir. Ken O'Keefe was on that.
Exactly. In that time, Erdogan, the president of the Turkish president, he was upset. Oh, it's no, we cannot accept this. Israel cannot kill our citizens. I gonna take a boat myself and go to Gaza, etc. He had a big rhetoric against Israel. Now what? You have Turkey and Israel reapproaching, making economic and political ties again, because it's about politics. So forget about all this shit about all the Jews. No. It's about politics and especially economy. It's the economy, stupid.
It's all about the Benjamin.
So what?
Oh, it's all about the Benjamins, baby. It's all about the dollars.
Exactly. So when you have money, gas, oil involved, no, I don't care if you are Jew or Muslim or Christian or no matter. It's about business. So, of course, you have people who hate Jews and use the Palestinian cause as a platform, of course. But in my opinion, this is the minority, opportunists. So who are really interested in justice for Palestinians has no racist rhetoric, intolerant rhetoric toward the Jews. Because you have Jews who support Palestinians, for example. So at least I can speak for myself, okay? I have absolutely no problem with Jews or Christians. It's about politics. My criticism towards Israel, it's about politics.
Well, please do stick with us, Carlos. This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with special guest Carlos Latouf live on radio. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak, every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern, on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back. You're listening to the People Speak radio show live across America and across the world on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our very special guest, Carlos Latouf. I encourage all the listeners to visit his website at www.deviantart.com. He also has one on WordPress, LatoufWordPress.com. Latouf Cartoons, I beg your pardon. Welcome back there, Carlos, sir.
Yeah. Hey, I'm here.
Just to clarify what we were talking about before, you actually are from a Brazilian family that speaks Portuguese, I beg your pardon, and you're a Brazilian yourself. So these claims that you're an Arab are completely false. Is that true?
Yes, sometimes they say I decide to support Palestine because my grandfather was Lebanese. It's completely stupid because my choice for Palestine is due to human rights issues, not about my parents, my relatives, nothing like this.
Right, right. We have a question from Hadding in the UK. Is it not true that you are a Jew yourself?
No, I'm not Jew, but I could be a Jew, not a problem, but I'm not. I'm not religious, you know. I don't believe in religions. I respect religions, but I grew up in a Christian family, but in the matter of fact, religion doesn't make sense to me now.
Right, right. Understood. We have a question about what happened with your arrests in Brazil, and what were you arrested for?
I was arrested for three times making graffitis against police brutality in Rio de Janeiro.
Graffiti.
It's quite dangerous. Graffiti, yes. And even cartoons. I was censored many times making cartoons against police brutality. This is a very serious issue here, and you can put yourself in trouble drawing or speaking, denunciating this situation here.
Right, right. Well, what are some of the things happening in the world today that concern you the most?
One of that is the elections in the United States.
Wow.
I used to say, when you vote for someone in the United States, you are also choosing someone to rule the fucking world. So I used to say, when you are electing someone to be a president of the United States, you are also deciding the future of the world. Unfortunately, I don't believe in Republicans and Democrats, you know, because all of them are linked to state policy. The state policy didn't change, never change, you know. The corporate, the corporative interests, they never change. And remember something, no matter if you are Republican or Democrat, you need to go to IPAC and give loyalty to Israel. You know that more than me.
Yes, of course. And, you know, it's funny, it's not the best people, it's not the smartest people that end up being the president. It's usually the richest one at the time.
But let's have, for example, Obama. Well, the first time we have a black guy in the White House, okay, in a country where black people were used to be hanged in poles, electric poles and trees. in a country where you had slavery, where you have killing black people. Okay, it's the first black guy in the White House being president. This is a very important historical fact, but in the matter of fact, doesn't mean for real it will change the lives of people for real. I mean, having a black guy as a president didn't change the lives of the ordinary black guys, black people in the United States. In Brazil, we had the same. We had a former steel worker as a president, the Lula. You know that?
Yes, yes.
And having a former steel worker as a president, someone from the working class, for the first time in Brazilian history, didn't change for real the situation in Brazil. You still had poverty, police brutality, social differences, strong differences. So if you're going to have the first woman in the history of the United States as a president, won't change anything for sure, deep inside for sure. That's what I believe. It's just right. The power of the symbol. But inside, the symbol means nothing in the practical life. I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear.
Very clear. Yes, it's understandable. We have a question from Jane in California. Does Karloff think the United States is behind the coup against the former president Rousseff?
Good question. Well, you know, this guy, Temer, Michel Temer, the guy, the former vice president who is in charge in Brazil now. I remember WikiLeaks published some cables exposing Temer as someone working for CIA or being giving information to CIA, you know. So I'm not able to say United States is behind this cup, this so-called democratic cup, parliamentary cup. But let's say United States made nothing to stop this, you know. If it's not supporting, at least it did nothing to prevent this or didn't disagree with this, you know. Different, for example, like Putin. Putin, the president of Russia, was vocal against the cup, but United States not. Well, in the past, during the Cold War times, United States was directly responsible for the cups in Argentina, in Chile, and in Brazil. But now, maybe we could say something like a soft cup. I'm not sure if we are. It's a proper way to refer to this, but you don't have tanks, you don't have soldiers, you know. It's a cup made by the media, by corrupt politicians, and behind
the scenes manipulation.
Exactly. Because nobody needs tanks and soldiers to make cups now in Brazil. Let's take as example what happened in Paraguay. It was more or less the same. More or less the same.
So it's entirely possible the United States had done it, given the history that they have. A very good documentary that shows this is A War on Democracy by John Pilger. Have you seen that one?
No, unfortunately not.
Wow. Do add me, and I'll send you the link to that, because it explains everything about the United States in South America changing their puppet governments. And talking about puppet governments, the puppet Zionist in Turkey at the moment, Erdogan, I believe he banned your blog site or banned your website. Is that true?
Yes. I'm not sure if the whole website, but one of the pages with a specific cartoon, but... my cartoons are quite popular on the Turkish social medias. And in Turkey today, if you criticize Erdogan, you can go to jail automatically. If you even if you share an image on social media, you can put yourself in trouble. I remember a former employee, state employee, was fired and responding a process, responding responding a process is persecuted by the government because he shared a photo montage comparing Erdogan to the Gollum, that character from Lord of Rings. You know that?
Yes, yes, I do.
So my cartoons are quite popular there, but they exactly because this kind of cartoons they are not prohibited, but definitely the government don't want people to see such cartoons because they say they have laws against, between quotes, insulting the authorities. You have the same law in Egypt, the same law. You know, I cannot go to Egypt because my cartoons about the military junta, for example. And probably I will be in trouble in Turkey do my cartoons. And you are not talking about decades ago. You are talking in the century 21. It's a shame.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the real reason they don't like those cartoons is because it gets people thinking about things. It gets them actually looking at the situation a bit more and reading the news a bit more.
That's exactly.
And that's what they don't want. They don't want a population that are educated, that are actually knowing world events and who does what and who gets caught out and how many secrets are leaked out. And it's every day now that some sort of secret comes out. Don't you agree?
Agree, of course, because in the case of Turkey, Erdogan poses as not only a leader, but someone close to God, you know? That's why I told you. Yes, that's why I told you. It's so dangerous to mix politics and religion. It's so dangerous because if you pose yourself as someone close to God, there is no way to criticize you because you are in the right side. You have God with you. So how can I criticize someone who have as a partner God?
Not until now, I haven't seen Erdogan as an Ayatollah, but you're giving me this image, Carlos.
Sorry, I didn't get it.
You're giving me an image of Erdogan as an Ayatollah.
Ah! he's not an Ayatollah because he's Sunni. He is intent to be a leader of the Sunni. You know, that's why he has close ties with Saudi Arabia. That's why he, behind the curtain, he supported ISIS. He supported the so-called rebels in Syria, you know.
And he supports Israel.
Of course. He has a lot of rhetoric to offer. A lot of rhetoric. He say, no, I'm a friend of Palestinians. But the only thing he has to offer to Palestinians is rhetoric. But to Israelis, it's good business. It's gas business.
Yeah, the Leviathan gas basin in the Mediterranean there. We have a question texted into me from Buzzy Krongard in Langley, Virginia. He wants to know, does Carlos think that 9/11 was a U.S. and Israeli operation, or do you think it was
inside joke?
What do you think?
You mean an inside job, right?
Yeah, an inside job with Israeli help. Do you think that is the case?
Steve, I'm not sure. But this 9/11 thing has many unanswered questions. For example, Can you imagine a country like United States, which have a very strong intelligent service, not being able to track people planning such huge attack like 9/11, planning to attack the Pentagon? Can you imagine this?
Yeah, nobody could do that. Nobody could.
Yes, this is not. It's not like you waking up in the morning and say, "Oh, what a good day to attack Pentagon." No, it's not like this. I think it's necessary some kind of sophisticated planning. And I remember a movie by that Fahrenheit 9/11. Forgot the name of the director is.
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore, yeah. Michael Moore, exactly. Yeah, I told you, I'm getting old. Michael Moore.
You're still pretty sharp, man. Still pretty sharp.
Michael Moore made this movie, and one of the very important things is a report was given to Condoleezza Rice about the possibility of an attack using planes. And Condoleezza Rice just ignored. So I think something is behind the 9/11 attack. Something was behind in the assassination of JFK. Oliver Stone made a very nice movie about it. By the way,
Just one thing, Carlos. I want to say Condoleezza Rice did do something about it. She contacted the San Francisco mayor, Willie Brown, the night before and told him not to fly the next day. Whatever you do, don't get on any plane. That's what she rang and told the mayor, Willie Brown of San Francisco, not to fly the next day on 9/11. And he recalled that. That's like she knew. She did something. This was all an inside job. The people who wrote the 9/11 commission and set up the commissioners were Philip Zelikow. He went to college through his days with Condoleezza Rice. They're all buddies.
Yeah, I think we should. You should to make an interview with Condoleezza Rice and make some tricky questions to her.
Oh, man. I don't want to go near Satan. Sorry. No, that's not my deal. I don't do that either. I only speak to good people with good hearts who believe in humanity.
But you know, definitely that woman has very precious informations.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Very precious. And Bush and the family, Bush family also, they know all the history.
Right. All the inside stuff. They know it. We have a question here from Winston Smith in Hawaii. Do you think that the Zionists are actually a different species? Maybe they're not human. Do you think that's maybe possible?
No. It's completely crazy. They are human beings for sure. We
just
are
very corrupt.
All. Say what?
Just very corrupted human beings, do you think?
But all of us are corrupt. Nobody's perfect for sure. What we have is interests. We have personal interests and collective interests. And sometimes, sometimes these interests may collide with others' interests. So in the end of the day, it's all about interests. But in these days of when we are thinking only in ourselves, and our interests, we put our interests in front of everything. It's important to bring back some values, you know, some human values. Well, of course, being cruel is also human, and being kind is also human. So. I think we need to put ourselves in the other shoes. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So don't need to be... Okay, go ahead.
No, after you. You don't need to be what?
You don't need, for example, you don't need to be Muslim, you don't need to be Palestinian to support Palestinians. For example, I met few people from that place in the United States where the black people revolt. The name is... do you know the name of the place in South? Not only South, no. It's...
Alabama, Tennessee?
No. Where people, black people were shot by police.
St. Louis?
Well, I forgot the name. I in St. Louis, yes, in St. Louis.
Oh, you mean recently in Ferguson?
Ferguson, yes. Yes, exactly. I met few people from Ferguson.
Wow.
Black Lives Matter movement. It was so great to meet those guys and girls. And they were born in the United States. They were black people. I'm not black, but it was so easy to have solidarity for them because in some aspects, they suffer more or less the same thing the black people in Brazil suffer. They told me some histories very similar to some situations I already saw in Brazil and the Brazilian favelas, you know. So, well, I don't need to care about the black people in the United States or black people in my neighborhood, but they are human beings. We need to put in their shoes to try to figure out how they live, what they suffer. It's about solidarity. So those people are from the United States. They are black people, but I support them. I support the struggle of people, the black community and Ferguson and all around the United States against police brutality, for example. We have a common enemy. The police brutality is our common enemy in Brazil or in the United States.
So or in Australia or Canada.
Exactly. That's why I support Palestinians. It's not because my grandfather was Lebanese. No. I don't support people in Ferguson because they are black. Because I'm not black. I'm not American. I didn't born in the United States, but no matter what they suffer, people here can suffer too. So I have solidarity for the Palestinians for a matter of human rights, because they are human beings. Mm. That's all.
Viva la Brasilia.
Because it's not fair to say the Zionists are creatures. No, they are human beings like us. That's all. The Nazis, for example, let's talk about the Nazis again. The Nazis were human beings too. Who created the gas chambers were not Martians, aliens. No, it was made by human beings. So
yep. People following orders, just people following orders, doing their job, doing what they get paid for. That's what anybody wants to do, is just do a job, but that's the way the system is designed.
Exactly.
To keep people enslaved.
Exactly.
Well, we have a question here from Jane Bond in California. She would like to know about Manuel de Conciencia. Do you know much about him, who was captured?
The who?
Peasant farmer in Brazil. Manuel de Conceco.
I didn't get it.
Oh, maybe not. He was tortured by U.S. trained goons in Brazil. He was a peasant leader.
But the name is?
Manuel de Conceicao. I think I'm saying that right.
Because your Portuguese pronunciation is not that good.
Okay, I'm doing my best here. So how important do you think it is for people to engage in critical thinking and asking more questions about what kind of world is being run today? How important do you think that is?
I think this awareness is maybe due to, as I say, the information society. People now have more access to information and can be touched by some issues with more easily, I think. You can know about what is happening in Chile, for example, just checking the Twitter. You can pick one cause. You can pick one country. If I want to follow the news in Bangladesh, I can check the news on Twitter or Facebook, or, you know, you have many ways to get information about places far from you. But now I'm curious about this guy tortured by in Brazil. I'm curious now. I wish
I'll see,
I could
see what I can get for you. I'll see what I can find. I'll get you a link.
Well, okay. Or write the name of the guy here in the chat window.
Sure.
If you can.
Of all the things that are happening in the world and the things and problems that we're facing as people, as society, as humanity, what is the biggest danger in the world today, in your opinion?
Another good question. I think the biggest problem, in my opinion, is the model of the production and consumption. For example, look the way the companies make cell phones, for example. For example, if you go to a shop now, today, if you go to a shop today, you're going to see many different types, models of cell phones. If you go there the next week, the next 3 days, you're going to see another set of brand new cell phones, different cell phones. They have some difference between them, have more buttons, have more buttons, have more camera, better cameras, etc. And when they broke, what do you do? What do you throw then? The broken cell phones, the broken tablets, the broken computers, where? So this, in my opinion, this model, this capitalist model of production and consumption can destroy the world before we can develop a more strong social conscience. Because I have many leftist friends and they say, Latouf, the society is developing, is improving, and someday we're gonna achieve a better society. But in my opinion, the whole world will be destroyed by this model of production and consumption before we can reach this new society, better society.
Right, we got time for a final question. Do you support the stop funding of Israel?
Definitely. BDS.
Yes. Yes, that people should stop funding Israel, yes.
Yes, definitely. I support that. And I issue many cartoons to BDS groups all around the world, including the United States.
Right. Thanks very much for being on the show today, Carlos.
Steve. Let me tell you, it was so great to talk to you. I would like to thank you very much for giving this space to talk to you and your audience. And I am at your service, always.
I'd really love to have you back on the show again, because it's been fun talking to you, and it sounds like you're a very, very switched-on individual and a switched-on human being. I don't know if you're gonna like me saying God bless you, but whatever you believe in, and take care, you know?
Okay, brother. I was joking. Of course, you can say God bless you. God bless you too, Steve. Thank you for all of your kindness.
Absolutely. It's from the heart. Definitely we'll have you again. Stay tuned on BBS Radio coming soon for special guests Andrew Basaggio and Chris Berlin coming soon on the People Speak Show. Big thanks go out to the producers, Mike, Doug, and Donald, to all my friends throughout the world and all the guys who give me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for me for now, take care and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, redwood forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.